Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, March 18th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Studio 7 is going out to Zimbabwe on 909 medium wave and on 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com. Text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Barere Nyatwa Group of Hospitals says its operations are being affected by lack of funds as it struggles to recover more than $40 million it is owed by patients, the government and medical aid societies.
We will try to be difficult to a patient who has come, has been in hospital for 4, 5, 6 days, has been treated and is now leaving. We will try to make you pay. Make no mistake about that.
A factional fight in the MDCT widened with some members in Harare province last night passing a vote of no confidence in the leadership of Chairman Paul Madzore.
Madzore, Paul remains the chairman of Harare province for the MDCT, that is led Morgan Changra in Harare. And all I would want to urge members is to remain focused and be united.
And Cabinet today agreed that chief executive officers in government companies should not be paid more than $6,000 only monthly as it moves to deal with the salary gate scandal.
Barere Nyatwa Group of Hospitals says it is owed more than $40 million by patients, the government, and several other organizations, forcing it to institute drastic measures to recover the money. Ivan Chifera has more from Harare.
Some of these measures include detaining patients as well as engaging debt collectors to force people to pay for services rendered. Hospital Chief Executive Officer Thomas Gora told visiting members of Parliament's Health Portfolio Committee that the hospital is severely underfunded, adding it is trying all means possible to collect all outstanding monies to keep it operational.
We will try to be difficult to a patient who has come, has been in hospital for 4, 5, 6 days, has been treated and is now leaving. We will try to make you pay. Make no mistake about that. If you are within the paying category, we will try to make you pay. So that when you come in an emergency situation, the money that we got from you, who we made to pay, can then look after you.
Zigora said cash patients owe the hospital $27 million, the Department of Social Services $2 million, children under 5 years of age $6 million, Zimbabwe National Army and Zimbabwe Republic Police $1 million, and the remainder is owed by medical aid societies. Zigora said the hospital, which has a monthly operational budget of about $3 million, collects about $900,000 from user fees monthly. He said Treasury has since January this year released only $300,000, making it difficult for the hospital to run smoothly.
You will make the decision. Do we eat breakfast? Do we eat lunch? Do we eat dinner? Here, I can't make that decision. So that which we collect, we pay for oxygen. We pay for blood for those who accident victims and mothers and those who absolutely cannot pay when they arrive. So we need to feed the patients. We need to buy laundry. We need to send these items for laundry. There are lots of things which we call more or less fixed every month, which come to close to 600,000-700,000 before we even start spending some of that money to pay off what we owe to our creditors.
Zigora said the hospital's drug level at 48% has never been this low in the institution's history, adding in some instances they are giving patients prescriptions so they can buy medicine from private pharmacies. Zigora said the hospital has acquired new cancer treatment equipment at a cost of $7 million, adding this would ensure quick treatment for cancer patients who were spending a lot of time due to constant breakdown of the old machines.
What this will mean is that people will go on the machines quicker and we don't have as many breakdowns as we used to have. Previously, the treatment of cancer, particularly radiotherapy, if they say you need 14 sessions, it has to be 14 consecutive sessions, right? Whatever number of sessions they give you, if there's a break, you start all over again. So that is the problem which our people used to experience. With three machines, they shouldn't be break, and whatever they've decided, the patients will. So we're able to treat more. We've reduced waiting times significantly, but there will obviously be limitations in terms of the staff we have.
Health Committee Chair Ruth Labode said Parirenyatwa, undoubtedly the best-equipped public hospital in the country, must be privatized so it can operate effectively.
Most important, so much money has been injected in here. But, and you have specialists, let people know it could actually be a regional center. It could be a regional, people where will be referred, Botswana, Zambia, where, and they'll be referred here. You also make it so sophisticated that people feel, look at the chair where people are sitting. Go to Goma and see where people are sitting. The chair is going like, Antiabon. So we can't compare this to, this is the best way. If I had my way, people should move to the fact that government should commercialize Parirenyatwa.
Labode said Parirenyatwa management must be proactive and raise more money to improve operations from its state-of-the-art equipment. She said the government must also meet its constitutional requirement of providing health for all by ensuring that all hospitals are adequately funded. The Health Committee is currently visiting major hospitals in the country to draw up a strategic plan to improve service delivery in the health sector. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
The factional fights in the Movement for Democratic Change formation led by Morgan Tsvangirai continue to widen, with some members in the Harare province passing a vote of no confidence in the leadership of Chairman Paul Madzore. The vote of no confidence was passed at the party's headquarters in Harare last night. This follows the suspension of some members in Manicaland and Matabeleland province by the party's organizing secretary, Nelson Chamisa. Party sources say Madzore is allegedly linked to the faction that is calling on Tsvangirai to step down, saying leadership renewal will boost the party's chances in the 2018 national elections. Those calling for Madzore's ouster are said to be led by Harare province spokesman Obed Gutu. Gutu confirmed to Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that some members in Harare are disgruntled with Madzore's leadership.
It was then resolved that a vote of no confidence be passed in the Harare province chairperson, Honorable Paul Madzore. A vote of no confidence was also passed in the Harare province secretary, Honorable Willard Madzimore, and also in the Harare province organizing secretary, Mr. Pichao Namunyanyi. It was the general and unanimous consensus of councillors there present that these three particular cadres had not discharged their duties to the satisfaction of the cadres, and more particularly, it was alleged and evidence was provided to prove that these particular cadres were deliberately fanning factionalism with structures in Harare province.
But is this not contradicting what Mr. Tsvangirai himself was saying, that he wants to unite the people?
I do not see any contradiction. The president has been very clear that we should proceed as a united family, and we as Harare province, we are fully behind that call for unity. But where there is evidence that regardless of the president's public and concerted call for unity, some of these officials I've already mentioned, as recently as the past weekend when the president was holding a rally in Bulawayo, some of them were seen traveling throughout some districts in Harare province, mobilizing party cadres not to attend that rally in Bulawayo.
Harare province MTC spokesman Obed Gutu in Harare. Blessing also reached Madzore, who dismissed the meeting to host him as a non-event.
Look, it's one thing to be angry as an individual and be able to want to do your own things. But there's a Congress position that when a leadership has been elected, that leadership shall lead until another Congress. So for people to then sit down and decide that they don't want Madzore, it's not up to an individual to dislike a person and decide to dissolve or pass a vote of no confidence. Madzore, Paul, remains the chairman of Harare province for the MDCT, that is led Morgan Tsvangirai in Harare. And all I would want to urge members is to remain focused and be united for the sake of the resolutions that we made at Congress, that we must lead this country and able to take out the masses of Zimbabwe out of poverty.
But have you been notified formally about this move?
No, it can't be formal. You can't formalize a decision that is informal. It's non-existent.
MDC Harare Province Chairman Paul Madzore speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu in Harare.
The leadership turf wars and turmoil in the MDCT has forced the embattled party to call an early congress with those aligned with leader Morgan Tsvangirai, allegedly paging opponents to clear the course for the long-serving leader. A party spokesman, Douglas Monzora, confirmed the development but was quick to point out no firm date has been set yet.
We have decided that we will hold an early congress for the MDC. The date of the early congress have not been set. These dates are going to be process-driven, meaning that these dates are going to depend on the congresses that happen at lower structures like the branches, the wards, the districts, and the province.
But we understand that in some provinces, suspensions have already started, or what they are calling a vote of no confidence in some members. How is this going to be a free and fair election when this is happening?
No. In terms of the constitution of the MDC, an organ is allowed to deal with its leadership if they think that the leadership has done something wrong and so on. And therefore, a vote of no confidence can be passed. But let me say that these vote of no confidences are then referred to the National Standing Committee and the National Executive.
MDCT party spokesman Douglas Monzora in Harare. Political analyst Nkululeko Sibanda says Mr. Tsvangirai's opponents will not be given a chance to canvass for support.
Looking at what has happened in the past few weeks, it is clear that this is perhaps the last dish for Morgan Tsvangirai to try and kick out anybody who's not disagreeable with him, using a congress while also giving positions to the people that he's been luring into the party. I think that he now thinks that he is going to be finishing this project. I think one of the things that's certainly very worrying about the manipulation of democracy here is that you see organizational structures being used to fulfill certainly very illegal or undemocratic motive by the leader of the MDC.
Those who are calling for Mr. Tsvangirai to step down, do they have any chance to mobilize and canvass for support ahead of this Congress?
We know that over a month ago, Morgan Tsvangirai had been asked to step down and call for an early Congress. And we know that during this period, a time that's not far back, he refused to do that. But what we also know is that between then and now, he has been changing structures across the country, including the structure that suspended Mr. Mangoma from the party. So I think that those who have been asking for Tsvangirai to step down no longer have the chance that they had a month ago, because the structures have been played around with, and Morgan Tsvangirai has been going across the country as if there was an election to ensure that he has his people in the provinces, and that he can have a well-staged-managed Congress.
A political analyst in Nkululeko Sibanda in the United Kingdom.
The Zimbabwe National Statistical Agency, ZIMSTAT, says year-on-year inflation for February was minus 0.49%, almost a whole percentage point lower than January's 0.41%, with economists saying this indicates continued dampened economic activity. The figures appear to tally with the Economic Intelligence Unit, which predicted that Zimbabwe's economy will grow by only about 2.6% in 2014 instead of the 6.1% projected by Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa when we presented the country's national budget in December. Independent economist Masimbagu Chera, however, told Studio 7 with the harvest season fast approaching, indicators in the agricultural sector may change the situation on the ground due to the good rains received countrywide this season. But Director Godfrey Kanyenze of the Labour and Economic Development Institute says the current deflation may result in what he calls a destructive spiral where companies will be forced to cut prices and wages and lay off workers, leaving consumers with less money to spend.
An inflating economy implies that the price level is rising. But when you have a deflation, it means that the price level is declining. What happens is that the aggregate demand in the economy has reached such a low level that there are so many commodities, like we see now, the difference with where we are and where we were in 2008, where we didn't have goods in the economy. But this time around, the shops are full of goods, but the purchasing power is not there. Aggregate demand is composed of consumption by individuals, by companies, and also by governments. And also it includes investments from abroad, and also includes your exports less your imports. Now, if you look at each of those components, consumption is low by individuals, by companies. There are a lot of company closures. By government, government hardly has any fiscal space. In fact, the fiscal space on the part of government is shrinking. And if you look at the trade balance, that is your exports less your imports, it's actually negative and worsening, which implies, therefore, that there is little money in the economy.
So, Dr. Kanyenze, what do these latest figures mean in regard to Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa's focus of economic growth for this year?
Well, it basically suggests, as we indicated earlier, that the focus of a 6.1% growth was not anchored on a real analysis of the economy. It was basically thumbs-up from Zim Asset.
Godfrey Kanyenze is the director of the Labour and Economic Development Institute. He spoke with Studio 7 on the line from Harare.
The cabinet today moved to set a salary threshold for all senior managers of state enterprises and local authorities amid a public outcry over huge salaries that some top executives were earning. Thomas Cheripasi has more details from Harare.
Cabinet today moved in to quell public anger over huge salaries that some top executive in some state enterprises and local authorities were earning, and resolved that no one should earn such high salaries that were described by Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa as illegal. Minister Chinamasa told a news conference at Munumutapa Building following the cabinet meeting today that cabinet resolved that no one in parastatals and municipalities countrywide should earn a maximum of $6,000, including all benefits such as health insurance, among other benefits. Chinamasa said the directive is with immediate effect. Chinamasa added that cabinet resolved that all government workers should earn salaries that are above the poverty datum line, although he did not say whether the government will be able to deliver on its promises this month. The finance minister was quoted in the media recently as saying that government will effect a pay rise in April, while President Robert Mugabe, who has said that he also wants a salary increment, has urged Minister Chinamasa to deliver on his promise. It is still unclear how Treasury will finance the increased salary bill, as Minister Chinamasa says government coffers are empty, with some returns from diamond sales yet to be accounted for. Some labor organizations, such as the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions and teacher organizations, have always called on authorities to increase workers' salaries, but government has always claimed that its purse is empty. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 medium wave and on 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
In regional and international news, Russian President Vladimir Putin and Crimea signed a treaty today to make the Black Sea Peninsula part of Russia, just 2 days after it voted to secede from Ukraine in a referendum the United States and the European Union declared illegal.
Kenyan police have arrested two men they say had explosives that were to be used in an attack. The arrest happened today in the port city of Mombasa, where police said they found two homemade bombs and a mobile phone that could have been used as a detonator.
And Malaysian authorities say the search for a missing airliner has been expanded to cover over 4 million square kilometers. Defense Minister Hismadran Hussein today also called for more international cooperation in helping narrow the search. The Department of Social Welfare has dispatched a team to assess the needs of children and elderly people in Detes Mtuya Township, where scores of residents lost houses due to heavy rains. Dete Child Protection Committee member Stanley Torima says the visit is a relief to local people who are struggling to survive following the heavy rains. He tells Studio 7 there are high hopes that children and the elderly facing various challenges will get the necessary state assistance.
The Department of Social Welfare delegation led by Mrs. Shirin Zebi had come to find out about the vulnerable children, the orphans. So they met the Child Protection Committee and they talked about few things, special challenges being faced by vulnerable children and orphans.
What did they say about children that are affected by the collapse of houses there?
We talked about the accommodation status of these kids, that they are living in houses which are substandard houses, and that they are also failing to pay fees. They are failing to have uniforms. They are living with elderly people.
Knowing that the Department of Social Welfare does not have money, so at the end of the day, what did they promise there?
They were taking notes to pursue to the highest level of authority in the government.
And that was Dete Child Protection Committee member Stanley Torima speaking with Studio 7.
Meanwhile, it surely never rains but pours for the more than 3,000 families temporarily resettled in Chigwizi, Mwenezi District in Mashingo, after tents provided to shelter them together with food supplies from donors were destroyed by heavy rains that pounded the area last week, resulting in diarrhea outbreaks. The families were relocated in Chigwizi after their homes were destroyed by floods in the Toko Mkosi area. Chivi Rural District Council Chairman Councillor Kila Zivu says though the diarrhea is now under control, the situation remains critical. Zivu says the villagers may be moved again due to the discovery of diamonds in the area. The government recently announced that it has identified land to permanently resettle these families, though it could not reveal more details. But some sources say they may be moved to Mazoe in Mashonaland Central or Marondera in Mashonaland East. Zivu speaks with reporter Joonga Kandemiri.
The people have been moved from Toko Mkosi area, where they have been taken to Chingwizi area. While they are there in Chingwizi, they were put in a camp, and they have not been given permanent places for them to build permanent structures. Therefore, they are being kept in camp. And unfortunately, there has been heavy rains again, and there has been a lot of floods in that area. The storm was too heavy than the one that was there in Toko Mkosi. Now you find out that all the tents were destroyed. People's property, the little that they had remained when they were moved from Toko Mkosi, has been also been destroyed. People are staying outside. And you know that in such circumstances, people are prone to different diseases. And that is what is happening to the people right now. There's been a problem of accommodation, and there are a lot of food donors. People in and outside the country are moving in, and there's been some clinics that have been put there. The government, they are trying their efforts, and then individuals and companies and everyone is focusing their resources towards the Toko.
We understand that Chingwizi is reserved for mining. How is the government going to deal with this?
That's another challenge, that the place is being said that they are reserved for diamonds there. And what we know, according to our constitution, is that the Mining Act supersedes all the other acts. So it means that if they are settled there, they will be settled for temporary, and they will be needed to be moved again. So as leaders, what we advocate is that if it is true that they are reserved for diamonds, then why does the government not just move these people permanently and put them to a place where they will stay? stay permanently, rather than to say they are there temporary and they will be moved again.
Chivi Rural District Chairman Councillor Kilazivu in Chivi Mashingo.
The cervical cancer screening program targeting women parliamentarians continued in Harare today, with Senator Rorana Mujiwa saying she was impressed with the counseling and preparatory process she went through before being screened. Senator Mujiwa is one of the 124 women parliamentarians who took part in the two-day screening clinic that ended today. The screening was sponsored by Parliament and Population Services International Zimbabwe. Senator Mujiwa spoke with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye about her experience during the cancer screening.
The process is very easy. When you enter the room, they will counsel. After counseling you, they will start the process. After that process, then they will just tell you and write down on the card. After writing that, they keep some secrets. They keep secrets, and after that, they will just send you to another hospital if you are positive. But if you are negative, you just go.
As a senator yourself, what do you think are the benefits of you having undergone this exercise?
I've benefited a lot since, because I'm now 54 years. I know my status. So we are encouraging those who are aged from 18 years and above 65 years for them to go to the New Start Center for them to know their status.
So what is the way forward now that you know your cervical cancer status? What are you going to do with that information?
I'm going to share with the other colleagues in this country. We are going, as Women Caucus, we agreed that we shall go to all the provinces, 10 provinces in Zimbabwe, and share this information to other colleagues in the churches, in the gatherings, what we gather in our political parties, and also in various forums. We are going to preach about this cancer. So we shall share as women parliamentarians to go to those provinces.
But how are you going to break the taboo? Because culturally it's very difficult to talk about such intimate issues.
We are going to break it because when we started talking about HIV and AIDS, people, they were shying to went out and say, I'm positive. So this time we said we start as parliamentarians for us not to shy. And then when we go to the people, they know that this cancer pandemic is everywhere. We don't segregate. Even the ex-Vice Prime Minister, Thokozani Khupe, went out and said, I've got cancer. And everyone was shocked and said, why is she saying so? So that one encourages many women for them to go and be tested, because they know that everyone can get cancer.
That was Senator Rorana Mujiwa of Wata constituency speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye in Harare.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when Gibbs and Blessing will speak with experts and listeners about the MDCT, saying they may call an extraordinary Congress early next year.
Text us at the following number, 001-202-465-0318.
Now we recap today's top stories.
Barire Nyatwa Group of Hospitals says its operations are being affected by lack of funds as it struggles to recover more than $40 million it is owed by patients, the government and medical aid societies.
Factional fights in the MDCT widen, with some members in Harare last night passing a vote of no confidence in the leadership of Harare Chairman Paul Madzore. And Cabinet today agreed that chief executive officers in parastate house and other government firms should not be paid more than $6,000 monthly as it moves to deal with the salary gate scandal.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande in Washington.
Thank you very much for joining us. That's all we had for you. But please remember to join us at 7 every evening for news in three languages, and visit us on the internet at www.studio7news.com for more on our topic.